Justice. Good morning, Justices.
May it please the court. My name is Dennis Marks. I'm with the Public Defender's Office in Sarpy County, and I represent the appellants Chance M. and Alex D. In this action. The issue before the court is whether or not county court has jurisdiction to entertain a motion to transfer a case to juvenile court when the underlying offense is a felony. I'm just briefly going to touch on the facts because I think the time frames are relatively important. Both were 17 years old when they were charged in juvenile court. Alex was a Class 2 felony. Chance had two misdemeanors. Both charges got dismissed in juvenile court. With Alex, it was 5.5 weeks later, and he was still 17. With Chance, it was 20 weeks later, and at that particular point, he had turned 18. Both youth individuals got their charges refiled in county court. Alex, within a week after the dismissal, he was still 17. Chance, it was 27 weeks later. And it was a Class 2 2A felony, and it was filed 2 months prior to his 19th birthday. Both had transfer hearings. Alex was roughly 10.5 weeks after the complaint was filed. Chance was 5 weeks. Both had transfer hearings where the court declined to exercise jurisdiction and set preliminary hearings on both cases.
So what is the significance of the timing?
Well, anytime you have a motion to transfer, the first line of defense that the prosecution is going to throw at you or is going to give to the court is, Judge, there's not enough time for rehabilitation purposes. We're going to need to extend supervision and consequences beyond their 19th birthday. So if you look at the legislative history of LB 464 and LB 11, when you're doing transfer hearings, time is of the essence. It's very important. Senator Ashford talked about teenagers and rehabilitation services, and that time is precious and the clock is ticking.
So can't you accelerate the clock, waive preliminary, and go to district court and make the motion there?
Well, as I pointed out in my brief, I don't think you should have to waive one right in order to exercise another. There's going to be situations where you can waive that preliminary hearing, but that wasn't going to be the situation in either one of these cases.
If we follow what you believe the intent of the statute to be, does that mean that a juvenile defendant could get two bites at a transfer apple, first in the county court, and then if it's not transferred and it's bound over to district court, try it again in the district court?
I don't think so.
What's your textual argument for that?
Because I just think that there would be issue preclusion. The fact that you did that in county court, nothing's changed, so you're precluded from doing it in district court. So I don't think.
But issue preclusion would only apply when there's a final judgment. This is an ongoing case, correct?
Correct. There has been no decision based on the no dispositional decision made on the merits as to guilt or innocence. So, within that line of reasoning, then yes, you would be able to have two bites at the apple, which I would not complain about. So,
I appreciate your candor.
I want to ask a question. You characterized the county court's action as declining to exercise jurisdiction over the motion to transfer. And the state argues that that is significant because they say motion wasn't denied or granted, and therefore there's no final order. Can you respond to the state's argument?
Well, the state is correct in that there wasn't an explicit decision saying we're going to decline to transfer this case to juvenile court, nor was there a decision saying we're going to retain jurisdiction.
I beg your pardon, and the motion wasn't stricken?
No, it was not. There wasn't an explicit decision, but I would argue that there was an implicit decision, that there was a constructive decision once they set a preliminary hearing, which would have been the next step, the next procedural step in the event that the court had decided to retain jurisdiction in adult court.
In any time when a motion to transfer is filed and a preliminary hearing is set without reference to the motion to transfer, we have an implicit denial and a final appealable order? I just want to make sure I understand your position.
Yes. Yes. I want to talk a little bit about the jurisdictional issue, but I want to talk about it in a way so as to kind of outline what the impact this would have on transfer hearings. If the state is correct and you find that there is no county court jurisdiction, then this is what transfer hearings are going to look like in Nebraska going forward. You're going to have a district court entertaining a motion to transfer to juvenile court where the underlying offense is a felony. You're going to have a juvenile court judge who's going to be able to entertain a motion to transfer to adult court when the underlying offense is a felony. As for county court, they're going to be able to entertain a motion to transfer when the underlying offense is a traffic offense. It's the felony offenses that scream, time is of the essence, rehabilitation. It's not the traffic offenses. We're creating a 16...
What about misdemeanors, I guess?
Misdemeanors are within the total province of juvenile court under one of the changes that was made under
most recent change.
LB 464. Now, misdemeanors, if they're attached to the felony offense, can go with, but on their own, no. Class 3, Class 4 felonies have to start in juvenile court as well. So what you're doing is you're creating a 16 to 20 week gap in the time frame in which a juvenile can seek to have their case transferred to juvenile court. And I would remind the court that when you look at the burden, you know, the preference is actually to transfer the case or keep the case in juvenile court, not retain it. There has to be a sound basis for retaining the case in adult court. Or there has to be a clear and convincing evidence to transfer the case from juvenile court to adult court.
This sounds like a policy argument for allowing county courts to decide transfer motions. What's the textual argument?
Well, the statute, the 1816 and 246, I think, 29-1816 and 43-246. If you look at the plain and ordinary meaning of those two statutes, county court has jurisdiction. If you look at the legislative...
Does the Constitution give the county court jurisdiction over felonies?
This is how I would analogize that. I think a motion to transfer is very similar to a preliminary hearing. Neither one is an adjudication. Neither one is a criminal prosecution. There's no determination as to guilt or innocence. County court judges act as gatekeepers in both instances. In a preliminary hearing, it's to determine whether or not a case should be bound over to adult court. In a motion to transfer, their gatekeeping responsibilities is that of should this stay in adult court or should it go to or should we transfer it to juvenile court?
But there's a specific statutory authority for the county court's examining magistrate authority to conduct preliminary hearings. We don't have a specific statutory authorization saying county courts may entertain motions to transfer to juvenile court.
Well, we do under 29-1816. There's concurrent jurisdiction under 43-246, and then there's explicit county court jurisdiction for transfer hearings under 29-1816. It's just a question of whether or not county court jurisdiction got expanded by this legislation or not. I think And one of the main things I think the county court struggled with is the arraignment piece of that legislation, of that statute, in that they are going to have to arraign felony individuals charged with felonies, and that was their big obstacle in reaching their decision.
They actually arraign on informations in felony cases, correct? Not on complaints?
I believe so.
So they don't have the power to arraign in a felony case, do they?
No.
Well, in county court, they're not asking for a plea to the charge.
No.
They're not entering a plea if the defendant stands moot. They're just advising them of their rights and setting a preliminary hearing date. So is there arraignment in county court for a felony?
I don't believe so. And I apologize. I'm much more familiar with the juvenile court side of things than the adult side. But I don't believe that there are arraignments on felony cases in county court.
But with respect to one of these cases, the initial charge was a felony, too.
Correct. Okay. Both of them, Alex started off as a class 2 felony, both in juvenile and on the adult side. Chance had his change from a misdemeanor in juvenile to a class 2A felony in adult court. So.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Duffy, good morning to you.
Good morning. May it please the court, counsel, I'm Siobhan Duffy, Assistant Attorney General, appearing on behalf of the appellees in both cases, the state of Nebraska. In each case, the appellants allege the county court erred in determining it could not rule on their motion to transfer jurisdiction to the juvenile court when the underlying charges were felonies. The state believes the county court correctly ruled it did not have jurisdiction to hear those motions because the underlying charges were felonies. However, as noted by this court already, the state in brief raised an issue of whether this court has jurisdiction over these appeals. I will briefly address that and then move on to the merits, pending any specific questions.
And may I ask you the same question, the motions weren't stricken?
That's correct, Your Honor. I don't believe, I think the court, the orders in both cases, one was just sort of a journal entry order where the county court stated it did not have jurisdiction.
Did not have jurisdiction to do this, and then it just went into the ether.
It went somewhere. And then in the other case, State v. McClellan, I believe the court entered a more detailed, an actual order, not just as part of the journal entry.
Addressing the substance about which we speak.
Correct.
Thank you.
But never explicitly said, I'm denying the motion, just saying, I don't believe I have authority to take it up, and I'm scheduling a preliminary hearing.
Correct, Your Honor. And that is why, just very briefly on the jurisdiction issue before this court, under 29-18-16, it's very specific, and it says that orders granting or denying transfer of a case from county or district court to juvenile court shall be considered final for purposes of appeal. And here the state's position is that these orders did not grant, nor did they deny, the appellant's motions, and that appellants still had the ability to make these motions in the event they were bound over to the district court. So the order was, I'm not exactly sure what we could characterize as happening to it, but it was not granted or denied.
Looking at the statutory language, grant or deny.
Correct. So the state does not believe it falls under that.
If the county court did in fact have jurisdiction to consider the motion to transfer, despite it being an underlying felony, don't we have an implicit denial of the motion?
Well, Your Honor, I believe in State v. Jayhoff, the county court actually heard evidence specifically related to the transfer issue, that the state presented its argument that it did not believe there was jurisdiction, and the court said, well, I'll take this evidence about the motion to transfer, and then I'll decide I'm not sure if I'll rule on it yet, and then eventually decided not to rule. I cannot recall if in the second case, if the county court, my recollection of the record is that the hearing was simply a hearing on whether there was jurisdiction. So I suppose I struggle with saying that the court overruled the motion in the case if they in fact didn't really consider any evidence in it. But I guess I'm not sure what my argument would be if this court determined it did have jurisdiction. I'm not sure how I could get around that.
If it's not ruled upon and it gets bound over, does the defendant have to refile in district court, or does the pending motion go with the case?
I don't know, Your Honor. I think the transcript, I know, you know, that the transcript from the county court would be sent up. But I don't, I suppose an information would be refiled. I guess I'm not sure how a court would treat pending motions from county court. I don't know that typically, that, and my experience is not heavily in the county court, so I'm not sure if there are typically motions pending once a case is bound over to district court.
What happens with bonds when a case is bound over?
Well, I suppose the bond, I mean, bond is already set, but I can't recall if there's a bond review in the district court level. I think the defendant doesn't go up for a second bond hearing, I don't believe, from county to district. I mean, the bond stays. The defendant, if they were out on bond when the case is bound over, I don't believe they're hauled back in until there's a second bond hearing in district court. So I guess, in effect, the motion would be pending. I'm just not exactly sure on that, Your Honor. As noted, the state does not believe there is jurisdiction under 29-1816, nor do we believe that the order finding there is no jurisdiction is final for purposes of 25-1902. However, in the event this court disagrees and finds that it does have jurisdiction over the appeals, the state believes that the county court was correct in determining it did not have jurisdiction to rule on a motion to transfer to juvenile court when the underlying charge is a felony. Just kind of briefly, the state's position broadly is that the language of 29-1816 presumes that the motion to transfer will be made and thus ruled upon after the defendant is arraigned on the charges. Subsection 2 of that statute specifically provides that at the time of the arraignment, the accused shall be informed that he may move the county or district court to transfer jurisdiction to a juvenile court at any time not later than 30 days after arraignment, and this presumes that that motion is going to be made in that 30-day time period between arraignment and the 30-day clock.
So does county court arraign on a felony?
No, Your Honor. And, you know, specifically, in preparing for this argument, I pulled the kind of initial appearance, the journal entry orders of both appellants in their county court appearance, and it's very specific. This is page 3 of the transcript for State v. Dayhoff. The defendant is advised of the nature of the charges, penalties, effects of convictions, and, you know, privileges against self-incrimination, kind of those general rights that they're informed of. But they're specifically not asked to enter a plea. There's nothing in here that would indicate that the defendant was asked if he is guilty or not guilty of the charge, which is what 29-1816, when it gives the process for an arraignment, specifically includes that the accused will be asked.
So that's what makes an arraignment an arraignment?
Yes, Your Honor. The statute provides kind of a form for an arraignment, and it says that the arraignment shall be by reading to the accused the complainer information, unless waived. I'm skipping a few of the words here. The accused shall then be asked whether he or she is guilty or not guilty of the offense, charged. So that arraignment encompasses that entry of the plea. So the state believes that the language of 29-1816 presumes that the arraignment is going to occur before a motion to transfer will be made or ruled upon, and thus it would follow that only the court with authority to arraign on the underlying charge has the jurisdiction to hear the motions to transfer to juvenile court. I think any
is it
other...
Is it as easy with the misdemeanors?
I'm sorry, could you
repeat? Is your argument as easy with the misdemeanors?
Well, so with misdemeanors, the county court has concurrent original jurisdiction or over traffic offenses with the juvenile court. Sorry, Your Honor, let me find where I've got this. Yes, per 43246.01 and 43247, the juvenile court does have concurrent original jurisdiction over a juvenile who's committed a traffic offense and past a certain date over a certain age to include when they amended this. So a juvenile could be arraigned in county court on a non-felonious traffic offense. So reckless driving, I believe, is a class 3 misdemeanor. It would be a traffic offense. So if a complaint was filed in county court on that, the county court would have jurisdiction to arraign and could thus hear a motion to transfer that case to juvenile court. If there are no additional questions from this court, we ask you to dismiss the appeal for lack of jurisdiction or in the alternate to affirm the judgment of the county court. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
No, Your Honor.
There is no time for rebuttal, Mr. Mark. Thank you. court is going to take a short 10-minute recess before we start the next case, which is Drought versus Marsh.